We're going to start with a wee story. The teacher was approaching the door of his house one night when he suddenly realized he had lost his key. He tried to look around for it, but the night was so dark that he could hardly see the ground. So he got down on his hands and knees and examined the ground where he was standing. But it was still too dark to see anything. Moving backwards, a street lamp he found, and he again got down and began a meticulous examination of the area. A friend came by and, noticing him, asked, "What are you doing?" The teacher replied, "Well, I lost my key and I'm looking for it." So the friend too got down on his hands and knees and they began to search. After a while, the friend asked, "Do you remember exactly where you lost your key?" "Certainly," answered the teacher. "I lost it in the house." "Then why are you looking for it here?" "Because," answered the teacher, "the light is so much better here." If we are to grow and experience transformation in our relationship with God, it's essential that we cultivate spiritual awareness of God, of ourselves, and of others. And without spiritual awareness, we're left groping around in the dark. And sometimes we look in all the wrong places for the keys that will unlock the door to the next stage in our spiritual journey. Sometimes the keys are already inside of us and we're not aware of it. Developing spiritual awareness is no easy task, and there are plenty of reasons and excuses we might offer for why it's so difficult. The world we now live in is jam-packed full of potential distractions and idols seeking out our attention. The demands of a busy work schedule and family life, lots of leisure pursuits like tennis, golf, or football, those are my favorites. Or what about technological intrusions? This thing here that I occasionally get a ride from my wife for. So many things shouting for our attention. 24-hour television, gaming, computers, iPhones, iPods, on-demand TV, or any other gadget of your choice. And none of these things that I've mentioned are in themselves bad. But what about your own thoughts and feelings, your own moods and anxieties, your own stresses and struggles and troubles? Our attention can flit and move from one thing to another, and we can become overloaded with the pressures of life. And the information overload we experience can lead to stress and the fragmentation of our awareness. We lose our focus, pulled in so many different directions. And if we allow stress to build and grow to unmanageable levels, then we can suffer the consequences in our own mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. In our driven rat race society, we can develop a blind spot in this whole area, and we can be sucked into distraction, fragmentation, and busyness. We can neglect our inner world and spend most of our days in a blur of activity, doing, going, rushing, achieving, racing, running, chattering, chuntering, huffing, puffing, pushing, shoving, rushing, ranting, chasing, and ticking off all the items that must be done on our to-do lists. And our lives can become a blur of activity in which our awareness and attention are kind of all over the place, and we lose our center and our focus. We can forget the reality that we are human beings and not human doings. So what I'd like to do this morning is explore how we can develop awareness in three key areas in our relationship with God. You could call these the three P's of awareness. Awareness of presence, awareness of peace, and awareness of perfect love. Look at your own physical body right now. Become aware of your own physical body, which is a gift from God, just for a few moments. Focus your awareness on your hands, your feet, your legs, your chest, your head, and your whole body. Just hold your whole body in awareness, just for a moment. Through faith in Jesus Christ, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This place, this temple, can be a place of connection and communion and relationship and awareness of God. See, we all carry around with us a portable sanctuary for the soul. And it's called your physical body. In that place, you can develop greater intimacy, communion, and awareness of God. So let's look firstly at awareness of presence. The starting point for developing awareness of presence is that he's already here. I'm going to read from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is here, right now, in this moment. His presence is here. And he's all around you right now. How aware are you of that reality right now? Not just a theory, not just a statement of propositional truth made from the front here. The presence of God is here, full stop. But in your awareness, how aware are you that the presence of God is here right now? Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. You see, we can try to hide from God, but he already knows where we are. And he knows what's going on in our hearts. And one thing's for sure, if you try to run away from God, you're not going to outchase him. Wherever you go, he'll already be there ahead of you. hear a few verses from a poem called The Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. Up vistaed hopes I sped and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears. From those strong feet that followed after. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat more instant than the feet. And that voice is the voice of God that is ultimately inescapable. We can try to ignore him, switch off and tune out. We can pretend he's not with us in any given moment. But his merciful, loving presence is always right there with us. We can develop all sorts of avoidant behavior to try to suppress our honest thoughts and feelings and try to avoid God. Like Adam and Eve, we try to wear our fig leaves and hide from God's presence, scared that he will find us out and maybe even expose us and reject us. But God is calling us out of hiding and into a growing awareness of his presence with us in every area and every moment of our lives. Richard Rohr says, we cannot attain the presence of God. We're already totally in the presence of God. What's absent is awareness. And Graham Cook says, if you want the presence of God, don't pray for it. Practice it. He's already here. Come out of the shadows and out of hiding. Come into the presence of God, who is already with you and in you. Bring all that you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Your starting point is reality. It's not about putting on your best Christian smile. Your starting point is that he loves you and accepts you just as you are. And that means he loves you and accepts you 100% just as you are. And that means he loves you 100% just as you are. And in case you're in any doubt about that, he loves you 100% just as you are right now. And he invites you into growing awareness of his presence with you in all of your life. But it doesn't just happen by default. Coming to church on a Sunday won't necessarily mean you automatically develop a growing awareness of the presence of God with you. Each one of us has to take responsibility for our own walk with God and our own spiritual growth and development. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There is a secret place of prayer that we are invited into. It's not about guilt trips or condemnation. Why have you not done your quiet time this morning? That's not it. It's an invitation of divine love. The lover of your soul invites you into this growing awareness of his presence with you and in you by the Holy Spirit. And developing awareness is a bit like going to the gym. If you haven't been to the gym for a while, then you might feel a bit spiritually flabby. And I could do with losing a pound or two myself. And your mind can wander as you spend time with God in silence or stillness. And one option is to try using a guided audio meditation. And some of you will know I'm involved with Christian Mindfulness. So have a look on that website and you'll get loads of free guided meditations. If you try spending some quiet time with God, you'll quickly realize how your mind can jump from one thing to another and how easily your mind can be distracted from focusing just on God. And that's quite normal. It's part of the human condition. And we begin to exercise our muscle of attention as we bring our focus and awareness back onto the reality of the presence of God with us and in us, sometimes called contemplative prayer. And the first hurdle in the process is often simply being kind to yourself if your mind wanders, and it will. I've tried many times beating up on myself as a Christian. And I want to tell you, it doesn't work. It really doesn't. And some of us have what is called a dialed-up inner critic. It's that voice that sits in judgment on you and gives you a good kicking when you get it wrong in life. I've not done that right. You stupid idiot, what have you done now? That voice. And it's not necessarily the devil, although it could be. Sometimes it's just our own inner critic. And the devil loves to jump on the back of that and say, yeah, you're right. You may as well give up this Christian thing. And we need to be aware of that voice and reject it. And begin to come to God just as we are, knowing that he receives us just as we are. If God has decided to be unceasingly kind towards you, do yourself a favor and do likewise. Exercise the muscle of your attention and open up your awareness to the reality of the presence of God with you right now. You can do it right now. So it's possible for us to grow and develop awareness of the presence of God with us and in us by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we can develop awareness of peace. The peace of God has already been given to us. Jesus says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." But when our focus and attention in life is fragmented and we're pulled in all different directions, it can become difficult to dwell in that place of peace. Peace becomes fleeting and elusive. And to dwell and rest and abide in the peace of God, we have to be intentional and deliberate. And often the best place to start is in silence. And for some of us, this will mean a total shift in mindset. We need to think in a completely different way about how we achieve our goals in life and what really matters. Silence can progressively become our friend and not our enemy. And if you were here last Sunday, you maybe remember, after a great time of worship, John just paused in silence. And then maybe there's something about silence when we can experience the peace and presence of God, perhaps in a unique way in silence. There's no additional input. It's just you and the Lord. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. And in silence, we are invited into a place of simply being with the Lord. It's in that place of silence, stillness, and being, not doing, that we can more easily connect our awareness with the peace of God that is already in us through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say things like, I'm only going to rest and sit at peace once I complete all of my things that I must do. And we can become slaves of all those things that we feel simply must be done. And in a rush through life, we can disconnect our awareness from peace. Well, I want to encourage you to make silence your friend. It's in silence that we can learn to bring focused attention to the Lord and open our hearts to commune with Him. And each one of us has the potential to be a carrier of the peace and presence of God, not just in theory, but in practice. And if you want to arrive at a particular destination, you have to set off in the right direction. You have to stay on the right road. And you have to keep traveling on the journey. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord." Psalm 62, verse 5 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him." There's an aspect of knowing God that can only be experienced in silence and stillness. See if anyone recognizes this old hymn. O Sabbath rest by Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love. With that deep hush subduing all our words and works that drown, the tender whisper of thy call, as noiseless let thy blessing fall as fell thy manna down. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heat of our desires thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire. O still, small voice of calm. In the secret place of prayer and meditation, you can develop a deeper and deeper awareness of the peace of God with you and in you. So we've looked a little at developing awareness of presence and peace. Finally, we're thinking about developing awareness of perfect love. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." More than anything else, our souls long for perfect love. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." This is the kind of love that is unceasingly reliable and trustworthy. The kind of love that will never let you down. The kind of love that is willing to give everything for you. The kind of love that is the same yesterday, today and forever. The kind of love that provides you with eternal security for your soul. And the only place you can find that perfect love is in the heart of God towards you personally. And because the Spirit of God lives in you on the inside, you can experience perfect divine love in your awareness in greater and greater measure. But it won't just happen by default. We have to be intentional and open up our awareness to the perfect love of God. And the mistake we can make is to think that perfect love is just kind of out there somewhere, our Father in heaven, and it's not attainable for me personally. But the reality is, at any moment, you can open your awareness and more and more and more begin to experience the divine and perfect love of God. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I want to suggest to you that there are two sides to the one coin in terms of enjoyment of divine love. Written on one side of the coin, it says, I am loved and accepted by God just as I am right now in this moment. And the other side of the coin says this: I totally accept myself as I am right now. With all your faults and failings and foibles and hang-ups, with all your unresolved stuff and blind spots, with all your struggles and sadness and grief, with any sense of unworthiness you may feel, just as you are in this moment, you are offered divine and perfect love in and through Christ. His arms are open wide, and he invites us to come into agreement with him. If he accepts us totally as we are, why don't we? Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So I would encourage you in your own personal devotions and prayer life, take time with the Lord. Open your awareness to him more and more, to his peace, to his presence, to his perfect love, which is streaming out of heaven towards you right now and will be for all eternity. Open your awareness to him and let him take you by the hand and lead you into the fullness of life that Jesus promised we would experience.